Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Welcome to church. This is Koinonia. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Appreciate everyone. Thank you so much. Can we give Minister Owi a great God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have to get to the word very quickly. Such a strong anointing. I sense that even as a ministry, that God is shifting us to new and deeper levels of the anointing. One of the keys that control increase in the anointing is faithfulness. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much or with much. So when God commits a measure of grace, it is expected that you commit yourself to ministering at that level with faithfulness, with diligence. And God, who sees you in secret, indeed will honor you. Praise the name of the Lord. We're still teaching along the lines of the instruction that we receive, teaching on the graces that are in this house. Tonight, I'll be teaching on commanding the supernatural. Commanding the supernatural. Please write it down. And Psalm 72 and verse 18. This is one of the graces that God has so lavishly granted us access to as a ministry. Among the many graces that are at work in this house is the grace for signs, for wonders, and for miracles. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a supernatural church. And it's important that we understand the dynamics of operating supernatural Christianity. Otherwise, Jesus will not be glorified in our lives and through our lives. And so I want you to pay attention. I'll be as brief as possible, hoping that we'll have some time to pray tonight. Psalm 72 and verse 18, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things." This is a very powerful statement. That means that anything that is done that does not cause you to marvel and wonder was not done by God. Because if it is God, there must be an element of wonder. There must be, he will do it in a way and a manner that must cause both the recipient of that blessing and the audience to marvel at the intelligence, the wisdom, the power, and the grace of God. Psalms 118 and verse 23. We'll look at four scriptures. Psalm 118 and verse 23. It says, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Not just marvelous in our heart. Once it is the Lord's doing, it must bring with it an element of marvel, an element of the supernatural, beyond the realm of science, beyond the realm of reason. It's his signature that everything he does must be marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 77 from verse 14 and 15. Very powerful scripture. It says, "Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." 15. It says, "Thou hast with thy arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. You are the God that doeth wonders." Exodus 15, the last verse, and verse 11. Exodus 15 and verse 11. "Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?" Please keep the scripture there.
"Nothing in this world satisfies. Jesus, you're the cup
that will run dry. It says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? So the Bible recognizes that there are gods. He does not call them men. He calls them gods. And then he says, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises? It does not stop there. He says, doing wonders. Just keep verse 11. Doing wonders. Please write this down. The days of the supernatural, the days of miracles, signs, and wonders are not over. There has been a very subtle narrative that has crept into the church for a very long time and still continues to gain strength. The proposition that the days of the supernatural, the days of signs and of wonders are over. To say the days of the supernatural are over is the same thing as saying God has died. To say the days of the supernatural are over is the same thing as saying the church is dead. Our God is a supernatural God. Our God is a miracle working God. From Genesis to Revelations, we see the consistency of God as far as his supernatural operations is concerned. And the Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, the A part, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord. My character is consistent. I can bend my methods. My approach can change. But intrinsically, I do not change. I am the Lord and I change not. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Paul himself was teaching us. And the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. He says, did I get that right? Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. It talks about the consistency that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same. There are people who are not the same way you knew them, both for good and for evil. But the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday. Write this down. Miracles and the supernatural are the foundation of the Christian faith. You have to understand and appreciate it, that the miraculous and the supernatural are the foundations, the pillars, the foundation of the Christian faith. The era of miracles are not over. Indeed, they are the foundation of the Christian faith. The Bible is a compendium of the miraculous, the wondrous acts of God from Genesis to Revelations. Now, I know that one of the reasons why, let me just address this up front. One of the reasons why people fear the supernatural, one of the reasons why people fear the miraculous, is because of a very sincere desire in their hearts to not dabble into extra-biblical practices. Please look up. It is a fear that many people have, because in our world today we have all kinds of religion, and even sadly among the Christian fold there are all kinds of practices that based on the authority of Scripture qualify to be seen as extra-biblical practices and practices that may not be consistent with the way God operates. So in a bid to manage that fear, many people have shut the door at anything that is supernatural in context, in a bid to walk within the zone of safety and the zone of balance. Let me therefore say this. God does not work magic. God is not a magician. magic is a practice that is not derived from the operation of the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It does not matter what advantage it seeks to provide. Are we together now? Magic based on the authority of Scripture is not how God works. Magic is largely demonic and is largely a practice that is vocally rooted in Satanism. God is a miracle worker, not a magician. The difference between a miracle worker and a magician is that relationship is not involved in magic. But when God wants to work the supernatural and miracles, it comes as a derivative of a relationship. When you meet someone, for instance, some idol worshiper or some practitioner of Satanism, he does not care your name. He does not desire a relationship with you. He just wants to know what your problem is, and he tells you the conditions to satisfy, and whatever reward you desire is given to you. But that is not the way God operates. When God comes to you, he does not just give you power. He's interested in a relationship. Are we together? God does not work magic. Now, can I tell you this? In the kingdom, we do not judge the godliness of an operation by the advantage it produces. We judge the godliness of an operation by the force that is behind it, not just the result it produces. Because many of us here, this is Africa we're talking about, there are many of us who, through the means of superstition, divination, Satanism, and all kinds of idol practices, have derived obvious benefits. Maybe some of us, before we met Jesus Christ, we came from families that were deeply rooted in idolatry, and we have partaken of the fruits of those idol practices. For instance, people have received safety, supposedly. People have received healings. People have received all kinds of things from some of these practices. So chances are that we view God, and because we live in a sociological context that just sees God as anything that provides good. Anything that provides good, we call it God. Anything that seems to carry a semblance of evil, we call it Satan. There are many good things that are not of God. Are we together now?
Yes.
If you do not understand this, you have already opened the door for all kinds of deception. That means that if Moses throws his rod, just because it became a serpent, and Jannes and Jambres threw his own rod, it also became a serpent, it does not mean their colleagues, it does not mean their brethren. The Bible clearly shows you that it is not the manifestation of the rod becoming a serpent, it's the influence that is back of it. Because you see, many times when we are under pressure, our focus becomes the result, not the influence. So I need money, I'm broke, and I'm hoping that I can have some means of financial blessings. And someone tells you there is someone, it's not exactly evil, and it's not like he's doesn't really do anything obviously bad. The sacrifice ranges from chicken to goats. There's nothing human at all. And chances are that that serves as a succor, especially under that pressure. Are we together? And we expose ourselves into all kinds of things. Our focus is largely on the result, not just the spirit that motivates it. I told you here, and I've taught you, that the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit that can grant you access to the spirit realm. Any spirit at all is already higher than this three-dimensional realm. Hallelujah. There is a condition for anything, any miracle, any supernatural manifestation to give glory to God. Number one, it must be a derivative of the Word. Number two, it must be under the influence of the Spirit of God. Number three, it must bless the saints and glorify Jesus. These are the conditions for any spiritual process. Any spiritual process to be accredited as though it came from God. If it does not pass through this test, number one, if it's not derived from the Word. Number two, if the Holy Spirit does not have a role to play in that process. And then number three, if it does not bless the saints and reveal Jesus, something is wrong. Hallelujah. Yes. This is the basis upon which we can reject many good things, because they did not pass that test. God does not work magic, but he is a miracle worker. Write this down, please. God has always desired to display the supernatural on earth and among his people. There is no confusion as to the fact that it has always been and still remains the desire of God to bring the manifestation of the supernatural in the midst of his people. From Genesis to Revelation, we see all kinds of supernatural interventions. God stepping in, revealing himself, his power, and his glory to his people. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see all kinds of manifestations of the miraculous. All kinds. Manifestations of power, manifestations of grace, and so on and so forth. The Bible has never hidden the fact that God himself desires that manifestation. When you read Genesis, the very creation story is supernatural. Isn't it amazing and also instructive that the first revelation, the first person of the Godhead that was revealed expressly in Scripture was the Holy Spirit? In the beginning, the Bible says, Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, now the earth, verse 2, was dark, void, and formless. And the Spirit of God hovered round the face of the deep. And then the supernatural begins. Let there be. And the Bible says there was. And then he began to create, recreate, and do all kinds of supernatural things. In the Old Testament, we see all kinds of manifestations of the supernatural. From Moses, Abraham, manna falling from heaven. All kinds of supernatural judgments that happen to people instantly. You read the Bible and you see supernatural favor that happened to people. These were all manifestations of the power of God beyond the realm of science, beyond the realm of logic, beyond the realm of reason. Then we come to the New Testament and you see all kinds of supernatural manifestation. Time will fail me to begin to discuss them in detail. From the incarnation, Jesus himself, his incarnation was supernatural. The virgin birth, very supernatural, is still a thing of contention today. In fact, is one of the bases for contention, the contention of the Christian faith, the reality of what we have come to know theologically as the virgin birth. Number one, the incarnation, that God becomes a man. The Bible calls it a mystery, and he said it's a great mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. God becomes a man. Then the virgin birth. A young lady, by believing the angel and cooperating with him, is able to host the word, and the word is born and named Jesus. How about his walk on the earth, from turning water to wine and all kinds of miracles that happened? And then his resurrection from the dead, his ascension. The Bible lets us know that when he was coming, he came through the womb of a woman. But when he was returning, he levitated with honor into heaven and a cloud received him. And the angels came and said, why do you seek Jesus? He said, this same Jesus you see will return the same way he has gone. You look at the life of the early church, you see all kinds of supernatural manifestation. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord suddenly. This was a miracle that was in the similitude of Ezekiel 37. Suddenly, there was such a manifestation, a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, it says, and they appeared to them. It was not said it was created, it appeared. That's supernatural. The tongues that came on their head appeared To appear means that it came from the invisible realm and found expression in the midst of the people. Tongues like as of fire and sat on each one of them. And the Bible says, verse 4, that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak in tongues, you know, and all of that. And then when the people heard them speaking, it was a day of Pentecost. They came and they said, who are these crazy people who are drunk early in the morning? And Peter shot them and said, no, we are not drunk. This is only in the morning. He said, but this is that. This is that which was prophesied by Prophet Joel. So the foundation of Christianity is the supernatural. To not believe in the supernatural, therefore, is to not believe in God. Because God is supernatural. Please look up. Isn't it a mystery, ladies and gentlemen, how that I am on earth and I surrender my life and my heart to God, who I may not have seen physically, and yet I believe that I am all right, I am not sick, I am not mad, I am okay. And then not only that, I stand and I speak to him every day. Can you imagine to the carnal man or the natural man what it means to be praying around and you're saying, Father, I give you all the thanks. I thank you because you hear me. I bless you for this day. In the name of Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. And someone says, who are you talking to exactly? And you say, I'm talking to my Father who art in heaven. And he says, who is that? And he said, be careful. The next instruction is, hallowed be your name. Don't disrespect this man I'm talking to. You believe you are talking to the Lord. And then you have the audacity to believe that he talks back to you. Are we together now? Now, many people doubt the supernatural, but you do not have any problem with picking up a metallic object produced by different companies, hanging it on your ears and talking with boldness and not ignoring who is looking at you. You dial a number and out of 7.6 billion people on earth, it does not make a mistake. It goes with digital precision to any part in the world you instruct it to. Then the person is talking to you. Ladies and gentlemen, even planes cannot fly that, they cannot cover that distance. And yet, do you not know that as at the time that call happens, it's no longer in this realm? Oh, yes. I'm here talking with someone and the person is right there in another nation. Even with the fastest of planes, it will take hours and hours in the air to get there. And yet with one dial, we're talking and laughing. And now you even have the audacity to be looking at the person. You are talking and looking at the person. You have never questioned what you are doing. And yet when we say there is a God in heaven who talks, who moves, who can heal, we say, are you sure? Oh, come on. How are you sure the person you are speaking to is not a demon who is standing on your phone? There are people who have not seen themselves physically for years, yet they don't miss themselves because a system, a bridge has been created. They communicate every day. And yet when it has to do with the supernatural, the moment there is a supernatural manifestation of the power of God, now we have a problem with it. How can someone be healed who you probably did not touch, who had a condition diagnosed medically, and we know that it would take this person months to recover, and in a moment you invoke a name, the name of Jesus, and that person is healed, that person is blessed? How do you release words and tell someone, in the name of Jesus, your week is blessed? Then the person returns and says, I can't believe what has happened to me. The supernatural. Write this down. Miracles are supernatural occurrences that defy the laws of nature. Miracles are supernatural occurrences that defy the laws of nature also defy the usual course of events upon the earth. Miracles are supernatural occurrences that defy the laws of nature and also defy the usual course of events upon the earth. That means that these are manifestations, supernatural manifestations that defy logic. They defy the natural sequence, the way things happen upon the earth. The Bible lets us know in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. It says, "Ye men of Israel," Peter is speaking, "hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth," look up please, "a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him." Who did it? God. He used him. God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves have known. So he says, Jesus, a man approved of God. That means it's a system of accreditation, validating that he really came from me. Miracles, signs, wonders. Can I tell you this? The church that Jesus died for is not a weak and a beggarly church. The church that Jesus died for is not a negotiating church that sits down and we continue to be victims of situations and circumstances, both human and demonic. The church that Jesus died for and the church that he's returning for is a supernatural church. In Matthew chapter 10, when you read from verse 1, then we flip very quickly to verse 7. Matthew chapter 10. This was Jesus now, having mentored the disciples for a season. The Bible says he called unto him his 12 disciples and he gave them power. Power. Power against unclean spirits. That means that power has no effect on clean spirits. The moment you are a clean spirit, you are welcome. The power does not have any effect. But the moment you are an unclean spirit, that power was not designed to be silent. Power against unclean spirits. Not to talk to them, not to discuss with them, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Verse 7. And he instructed them, "As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Next verse. It says, "Heal the sick with that power I gave you. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Do you know what he's saying? In other words, do not just carry an empty message. When you carry an empty message, the people have a right to doubt. My friend, look at me. Come. Hold on. Hold on. What was wrong with you? It's all right. Where are you coming from? From Maiduguri? That's all right. Check yourself. Check yourself. That's all right. Listen. That's all right. Help him. He's still under the anointing. That's all right. Listen, it's okay. Take the mic away from him, please. My friend, look at me. Whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, you are welcome to church. This is the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. When I'm going to be making the altar call later on, when you hear the altar call, just run quickly and come and join the people here. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Are we together? John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Please write it down. John chapter 20 from verse 21. John 20. John 20 from verse 21. "And Jesus said unto them, Peace be unto you. Someone prophesy peace to yourself. One more time, say peace be unto me. He said, as my Father has sent me. Question, how did the Father send him? As my Father has sent me with the supernatural life, supernatural message, supernatural demonstration of that reality, he says, even so, send I you. I am not just sending you. There is a way I sent you. Send you to where? To business, to ministry, to politics. It's not just to come and stand in front of a pulpit. We've dealt with that already. There is a way God sent us. There is a way the world should know he's the one who sent us. And that signature is the supernatural. As the Father, Jesus did not have to go around saying, hey, I've come, everybody listen to me. There were results that went before him. Manifestations of the power of God. The sick getting healed. Everything happened. And then when people said, who is this? He now said, all of you come. And he began to teach them. As my Father has sent me. In John chapter 14 and verse 2. John chapter 14. Verse 12, sorry. John 14. Please go to verse 12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than this. You know, there have been all kinds of interpretations of this scripture, depending on whether you believe Jesus was serious or not. Many people have watered it down and given a very nice excuse because they know when you make such a bold statement like this, both life and people would demand a defense of this. Greater works? But Jesus said it. Greater works than this shall ye do because I go to my Father. In Mark chapter 16, we'll read from verse 17. Mark chapter 16 from verse 17. Mark 16 from verse 17. Mark chapter 16 from verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. When you use your name, the demons will not go. It says they shall speak with new tongues. Next verse. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Ladies and gentlemen, who said it? Jesus. Jesus himself. He spoke these words, and he said this will happen. These are not parables. He really said it, and he meant it. Until we restore the supernatural to the church, not just blind fanatism, but the supernatural as a demonstration of the fact that God is alive and he's still moving in the midst of his people. Can I tell you this? If the supernatural begins to erode out of the church, a day will come, we'll come to church and only meet empty pews. I guarantee you. Today in our world, there are options. I hope you know that. Oh yes, sir, there are options. Do not downplay the desperation of people and how far people can go when they are desperate. We have no right to keep telling people, don't go to idol worshippers. Don't go to anyone. Don't worship any other god. Just come to Jesus. Now they come. And then we tell them, don't worry, he will do something. I spoke to him yesterday. He just said he's still walking. Are we together? The church that Jesus died for is a supernatural church. The supernatural is not for preachers. The supernatural is not for apostles. The supernatural is not for prophets. The supernatural, please look at me. The supernatural is not for those in ministry. The supernatural is for believers. The moment you come into this faith life, you have come into a supernatural life in every way. You must expect the supernatural.
not just supernatural events, supernatural living. Not just supernatural events, supernatural living. That this becomes your default state. That means you get up in the morning and it is possible that someone just comes to your office and shakes your hand, and just because he touched your hand, without knowing, the person leaves, and all of a sudden a disaster that should happen to him, when those demons come, they meet a system of defense. Who prayed for this one? No, a supernatural person touched this one. Listen to me. Listen, the life that you received, that you called Zoe, eternal life. John chapter 3 verse 16, just help those under the anointing. It says, for God so loved the world. Believers, look at me. Let's go back to elementary Christianity. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever, everybody say whosoever. He didn't say that the man of God. He didn't say the American. He didn't say the European. He didn't say the African. That whosoever believes in him, listen, should not perish, but as a reward you have. To have means it's been given to you. To have means you are not expecting. Shall have Zoe, the life of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, hear me. And I want you to truly believe what I'm saying. The Bible says this is the record. That's a legal terminology. Many of you are legal practitioners here. This is the record that God has given us eternal life. I agree that from my background, I may not have anything. Help them. I agree that based on whatever it is, but you have eternal life. You know what eternal life is? Eternal life is not the life you will get when you get to heaven. No, no, no. Eternal life is the supernatural God by his spirit coming to plant within your human spirit the reality of heaven, the reality of the life, the power, the glory, the culture, the atmosphere of heaven implanted in a human spirit. This is not a preacher's sermon. This is what the Bible says. Listen, listen. Every one of you here who is in Christ is already a partaker of this divine life. Hold on, please. Listen, listen. The reality of divinity finding expression in humanity should not be doubted. How did Jesus enter the womb of Mary? That's the same way he entered your heart. The way Jesus entered the womb of Mary is the same way. Don't you tell me, how did it happen? The answer the angel gave Mary is still the answer I'm giving you. How shall these things be? The power of the highest. Just that I stand in front of an altar and I make a declaration, I hand over my life to Jesus, and while they are laughing at me, a transaction is happening in heaven. The same way the Holy Ghost came and brought Jesus the word into the womb of Mary. Now he's arrived with his life. Hear me? Please sit down. Let me explain something for you. If you do not understand this, forget about a life of victory. This is more than some charismatic talk. No. This is more than just some Pentecostal talk. This is truth from scripture. So, when that life comes, the spirit of the living God comes to tabernacle within a mortal man. A mortal man born of a woman. I know that you may come from a Yoruba region, Igbo region, Northern region, European region, American region, help them please. But the moment you make this declaration, The Bible says we have been called out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation. You are connected back to your original place with all the benefits that follow that place. Let me tell you, when you know this, you will spend your life helping the lost to find Jesus. It's more than just evangelism. You are helping them. There is no other help that is greater than connecting people to Jesus. Everybody Jesus healed still died. Everybody he raised from the dead still died. But there is something you receive and not perish. If you receive healing, you will perish. If you receive breakthrough, you can still perish. But the life of God. Now, please listen to me. Listen to me. When you receive this supernatural life, the next assignment of the Holy Spirit, watch this. Because you see, the activity of the new birth does not necessarily affect your mind. The activity of the new birth is a spiritual affair. So your mind may be unfruitful many times. You just recited something a preacher said to recite, and you didn't feel anything, didn't fall, most times didn't stand. You just felt the peace of God, and they clapped for you, and you followed someone, and chances are you can downplay the miracle that just happened to you because it was so easy and so cheap. In 1 minute, even if a room has been dark for 24 years, the moment you put light, light will not start and say, let me respect the darkness. In that instant, the light comes. So both the room that has been dark for 2 hours, 10 days, 100 years, they all react the same way to light. But when that light comes, watch this. Just because you are a recipient of that life does not make you walk in the liberty of that life. Let's establish a few things here. Number one, we have been called into a supernatural life based on the authority of Scripture. The church of the Lord Jesus is a supernatural church. The supernatural should be nothing strange for us, through us, and with us. Salvation, the new birth experience itself, is supernatural. That's what gives us the basis for manifesting the supernatural. However, just because you are a recipient of the life of God through the new birth experience does not mean you will walk in it experientially. There is the dynamics of the supernatural, and that's what I want to expose you to. Because there are many people, as true as all I've said is, you may spend the rest of your life living and allowing your life to be a misrepresentation of the power, the grace, the glory of God. And tonight, let God be true and every man a liar. If what I've said and all I've said is true, why then do we have preachers that are powerless, businessmen that are powerless, career people that are powerless, believers that are powerless? Everything natural, the sequence of your life, natural. There is nothing extraordinary in your life. When I look at your life, and if it is true that you've been grafted into Christ through the activity of new birth, I should find that signature of the supernatural trailing you like a shadow, following you. A week should not pass without you having a supernatural testimony. Okay, Apostle, I went in the midst of people and I'm listening. What happened? And they just pushed me. And what else? I returned back home. No, that story is not complete. Apostle, I got to a place that was full of unbelievers. I'm listening. What happened? They looked at me, we gisted, we just exchanged pleasantries, and I left. You left? Nothing happened from you, through you, to them. Jesus was not revealed. Nothing happened. The sick were not healed. Demons were roaming around and you were there. and you left, you waved them, they waved you back. How about conferences that are put together and all kinds of attendants are there, both humans and demons? Day one, day two, day three, day four. They even came near the altar with the individuals who dropped the offering and went back, and nothing changed. At the end of it, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, such an expensive confession, the love of God, and we call it the sweet fellowship of the Holy Ghost. And at the end of it, those demons still go back. How about missionaries who go to crusade grounds and they come in the name of Jesus, they say, and they preach and they tell the people that Jesus is Lord. And when they are done, people just sit down and laugh at them. I don't mean to be sarcastic, but how about ministries that share boundaries with other facilities that may not be Christ-like in their operation? And yet for years, as that church is there, there has not been any impact around. Listen, if you understand this, you will know that you have been given the power that transforms people. Where did you keep the reality of that life? It's not just by bragging and saying, I'm a man of God, I'm an apostle. No, great is the mystery of godliness. God lives in me. It is true. Brothers and sisters, find a way of believing this. God lives in me. It was not so when I was born, because I was not born saved. But somewhere around the story of my life, I encountered him, Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. Today he lives in me, and I believe. There are implications to this. My life cannot be natural again. Everything about my life has to carry that signature. Not just for the gratification of the flesh, but the revelation of Jesus. So when someone comes to me and says, Apostle, nothing is working in my life, from pillar to post, my life is empty, what do you think I should do when I see such a person? I am happy that you have met me, because I am a blessing to you. I can't be a curse. Me and Jesus can't fail together. Me alone can fail. I agree. He will never fail. But since he has decided that this partnership is a salt covenant, inseparable, two of us cannot fail together. You carry this mentality. When you get into an office, you enter not as an employee, you enter as an ark. You have been entering as one who was employed, who is being paid X amount of naira or dollars or pounds. That is the reason why you go through the limitation that comes with that system. But when you know that beyond salary, I am a blessing. Doors that has been trying, the company has tried and tried to get those doors open. Suddenly, when God wants to bless that company, he gives them the privilege of employing you. When you enter that office, you don't have to tell them you have come. The manager returns back and says, how many staff do we have? Oh, 26, now 27. Who was the last person employed? And they said, one gentleman like that. Okay. I've noticed in the last 1 week, something has happened here. Something supernatural has happened. Have you noticed the kind of favor? Have you noticed that stealing has reduced in this company? Just because the man was there, all the three thieves that used to steal, they were caught red-handed. People who have been stealing for 5 years, nobody catching them. With all the charms that they had, an ark just came. Please hear what I'm telling you. I'm teaching you truth from scripture. You are not just an employee. No. You are not just a business partner. What you are bringing is more than capital. What you are bringing is the presence, divinity, the supernatural. They bring you into a ministry as a pastor. You are not just one of the 30 pastors. No. With all due respect, every other person can believe what they believe. But you know there is an implication. I'm sharing with you my mindset. I'm sharing with you my beliefs. The mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. Your life becomes an effulgence of signs and of wonders. Your life becomes a marvel first to you. Not because you are anything special in yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm teaching you, these are not cunningly devised fables. These are truths that are provable. God can live in a man. You can have something you were not born with. You can have something that was not given to you in a university. You can have something that was not given to you in your nation. The reality of the life of God at work in a human spirit. Listen. Please hear me. Listen to me. Our fathers of faith, men like T.L. Osborne, men like R.W. Schambach, these men and women carried this revelation. They came to Africa. They shifted climates with power and with grace. Ordinary men, mighty God. Ordinary men, powerful God. Ordinary men, all-wise God. Ordinary men, El Shaddai. I can tell you why people continue to dishonor the Lord. Because our cities, and respectfully speaking, our churches are losing the supernatural element. There's all kinds of cunningly devised fables, manipulations of darkness. The sick remain sick, the oppressed remain oppressed. All kinds of stories. Hear me. Now, please listen. In addition to the reality of eternal life, as you walk with God, you get to a point where the Holy Spirit begins to be introduced to you, not just as one who brought the life of God, but as God Himself. He begins to lead you through a process. He does not just reveal power. You shall receive power after. God does not empower you when He's building you. He empowers you when He's sending you. So when you come to Jesus, stop looking for power. Come to me. It is the making that happens. Empowerment is at the point where you are being sent, not when you are made. Listen to me, because something is about to open up in your life. Believe me when I tell you this. Many of you here looking at me are men and women of God. Most of what we do in church is just some jamboree of indisciplined young men and women. Most of what we do in church is not the supernatural. It's just a manifestation of flesh from ill-cultured men and women of God. Display of the flesh for the purpose of self-glorification. That your life becomes a perpetual threat to darkness. Not because of what you are saying, but because of what you are carrying. What you are carrying first before what you are saying. You'll be amazed to know what is happening to people now from the realm of the spirit. All kinds of impartations, all kinds of liftings. This is not about Joshua Selman. This is every believer's heritage in Christ. But hear me, brothers and sisters. There is one thing I know, and this is why you came to church today. Listen to me. Somewhere in your Christian experience, When God is ready to begin to build you and announce you to the nations, He exposes you to different dimensions and different levels of graces. Now listen to my story. There was a time, I have shared with you a few of my visions here. Just pay attention. I'm in this vision and I'm seeing an endless sea of people from the north to the south, the east and the west. And then these people begin to cry to me and say, Apostle, there is no food and there is no water. And then I said, who is the cause? And they were all pointing to me. It was a whole generation. I said, me? Why would I be that wicked? And they said, you are the one. And then I made up my mind that I was going to go. But I had remembered in that vision that there were some people who were trying to bully me. They were trying to pursue me. That's what even took me to that room to be hiding. It was upstairs. I made up my mind that if I perish, I perish. But I have to save these people. As soon as I opened the door, here stands this giant ancient man with beards. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit. But he stood there and he said, give me your hands. He said, we'll walk together. My hands were so tiny in his hands. And yet he held me and we began to move. We began to move. Jumping from one level to the other. I've shared with you my encounters because you are about to receive something tonight. I was worshiping the Lord many years ago and I was caught up in the realm of the spirit. And then the Lord speaks to me and says, son, from today I give you my presence as a gift. I'm not sure I understood then what he was saying. And then I see this huge being standing. And he said, from today he will walk with you. I said, what is his name? And he said, he is called the angel of the Lord's presence. Walk with you. This is why you see some of these manifestations. Brothers and sisters, everything God gives a man is meant for the body. It's not the... I told you the days of superstar Christianity is over. No. We are too serious to just be glorifying flesh. No. The kingdom requires seriousness. If you carry this mentality today, brothers and sisters, you go to a place where there are demon spirits, it's impossible for that place to be quiet. You don't have to be preaching. Just remember the ark has come. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Holy, holy, blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of our God. At me, the next time they ask you, what is your contribution in this company, tell them, I bring the ark. What is your contribution in this business? There are five business partners. We don't know why you are here, because intellectually we don't think you have any relevance. Tell them, there is something that I bring, the ark. I bring to this company the presence of God. I bring to this home the presence of God. I bring to this ministry, but not worship. I can pray for 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours. But chances are, if you worship for 15 minutes, Anything after that, you consider it a distraction. Say, look, this worship is okay. I've had the song. I know it. Let me pray. Oh, dear. Worship is a powerful atmosphere. Listen, when you worship the Lord, it's the protocol of the presence. You now begin to create the atmosphere for the presence of God to be made manifest. This is true.
He will not suffer my foot to be moved. I carry your presence everywhere. Who am I? Your mind is so full of me.
Mortal man, awesome God. Mortal man, awesome God.
There is nothing special to us and in us by ourselves. But when we learn how to engage that atmosphere, the miraculous is atmosphere dependent. You must learn how to not only carry the ark, but carry the climate. Scientists today are laboring so much to master the art of simulating climate, regardless seasons, so they can make rainy season happen in dry season. I studied years ago a group of superstitious people in a part of Africa called rainmakers. These are people who know how to fraternize with spirits and change climate. And you will watch videos where they would come and dance and do all kinds of things that don't make sense. Suddenly you begin to hear thunder and clouds forming, and then rain comes. They call them rainmakers. When you learn worship, you become a real spiritual rainmaker. You can make any dry season. Can I challenge you? Go to an atmosphere where it looks like God cannot move. Go to an atmosphere where it looks like people. There are times you get to a place where you see that there's no faith in the people. They look at you, and even you wonder what brought you there. I teach you, learn to be a spiritual rainmaker. Carry your climate with you. Don't just carry your Bible alone. Carry your climate with you. And when you lift your voice to the God of heaven and immerse yourself in worship, I do not know anybody who truly walks appreciably in the level of the supernatural that does not value worship. Genuine worship. Genuine worship. Genuine worship. And you are setting your atmosphere. Can I tell you? The best way is to combine all three. Worship, prayer, word fire. Oh dear. Selakatoska bragada. You are praying and worship is playing. And sometimes scripture is playing too. Don't say, will I understand? Leave your mind. This is spirit interaction. How many of you have listened to messages and fell asleep, and in the realm of the spirit, you continued listening to it? Including the encounters and the impartation in that message. You get up and you know that heaven is in this room. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Powerful impartations. Saturate your atmosphere with worship. And something is happening to you. As a man of God, you stand to minister the word of God, and you are ministering with power. As a business person, saturate yourself with that atmosphere of heaven and go to the boardroom. And you sit down and you are speaking. They are looking at you, but it's not you they are seeing. Their spirits are seeing someone else. Their minds cannot articulate it. What is it about this man that we are seeing? These are the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, please hear me. There is such an empowerment and a grace. In addition to all that I've shared, there is truly an engracing that God can give an individual for the supernatural, for signs and wonders. How does this grace work? When this grace comes upon you, number one, this grace causes you to desire the word
more than ever before. This grace causes you to desire the presence of God more than ever before. This grace causes you to desire fellowship with God. It's not just a grace that makes you to go and start laying hands on the sick. The grace operates by walking on your desire. The first way you know you have carried that grace is there is an unusual desire for the word of God. There is no such thing as no time. An unusual desire for prayer. An unusual desire for fellowship. You can lock yourself for a whole day as though you're a madman. There is a grace that is working in you. I have spent my life seeing this grace work. This is why we rejoice every time we have the privilege of traveling from nation to nation and from region to region. Every time I prepare to come here, I am happy because I know that I am not coming alone. You are not just coming to listen to another sermon. No. This is the place of encounter.
Do to me what you want.
This is the place of surrender.
Do to me what you want.
This is the place where my life is changed. See, listen, whenever we're preparing for service, we don't have to find out what your problem is. We just have to find out if he's coming with us. I cannot begin to find out who is there, how sick, how oppressed. That is a labor God did not give you. All you need to do is to know that you are carrying His majesty, and then in addition, the graces that He has placed upon your life. And you can say, let's go. And you can step into an auditorium like this, having people following from across the globe, following from all over the city. And you can dare tell people that Jesus is real. You can dare tell people that He can turn their lives around. And the Holy Spirit moves through your words and begins to produce supernatural results. Some of you come and you sit down, and from prayer, testimonies, something is happening to you you cannot even begin to explain. I've been going to church, but what is happening to me? I will tell you, is the supernatural. It is not only the three-dimensional realm that works here. I assure you, this is Mount Zion. This is Koinonia. An innumerable company of angels, the spirits of just men made perfect. Jesus Himself, the firstborn of the begotten, He's here in the midst of His people. In addition to all of these things, when God granted me the grace for signs and wonders, my life changed. If you do not have the grace for signs and wonders, especially if you're a minister of the gospel, the supernatural, you will live your life in jealousy and envy and anger. You will not have results. It's true. And you see, the thing about the supernatural is that if it is there, it is there. If it is not there, it's not there. It's as simple and honest as that. Many of you have come from homes representing businesses, representing different career, representing different situations. I cannot promise you that I can come to your house. I will not even attempt it. I will not promise you that I can see you one-on-one, but I have a promise. There is something you can be given. Something greater than me. Something better than me. It is the grace of God.
The grace that can empower you to walk in the supernatural. It is a grace God has so lavishly placed upon this life and placed upon this ministry. You know you are operating in the supernatural because your results happen in astronomical proportions. Proportions that does not look fair. Then you know God is in that equation. 1 + 1 minus God is 2. Satan can even make it 0. Without God, if you want 10, it must be 5 + 5, 9 + 1, 8 + 2. But when you bring the supernatural into that equation, even 1 + 0 can be 10. Because there is a factor that can change the calculation. It is based on that that frail men like us can have the audacity to tell the nations, we present you Jesus. And usually they will laugh, except that we are not alone. Hear me. I bring you a cure to fear, a cure to mediocrity, a cure to feeling I am a second-class citizen. There is a grace that can land upon your life and literally turn you to a sign and a wonder. And the way God implants these graces is that in addition to that which salvation has done, all graces come from God through men to men. It's time for you to begin to produce real results so that people don't begin to doubt you. Listen, you are a man of God. You're going to get into a life of trouble if you keep saying many things that don't happen. The world that we live in today is an audacious world. It's not as silent and sympathetic as it used to be. But there is a grace that can empower you that as you say it, you see it. Because when God said it, he saw it. Are we blessed? We're going to spend a few minutes praying, and then I'm going to pray for you from the depth of my heart. The Lord gave us an instruction. I really want you to carry this grace. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you will marvel and wonder at what your results become like. Truly speaking, this is no flattery. If it is the Lord's doing, it must be marvelous in your eyes. There are some of you, September will look like 10 years put together. 1 month. 1 month. 1 month. Looking like 10 years together. And the next time they ask you, how has this thing happened in your life? Be very quick to tell them that it is because of the Jesus factor, the presence factor, the supernatural factor. You just started a ministry. How come in 4 months God is doing this through you? And you can tell them, honestly, by my strength I can do nothing, but I have accessed a grace from heaven. How come your children who did not used to do well, what suddenly happened to them? How come the academics are changing? I know these children. They were also classmates with my children. And you tell them they came for service and something came upon their lives. One story and we'll pray. A very true story. Many years ago, I always enjoyed the privilege of what we know to be first position or best in class and all of those things. And then one time in secondary school, I was to receive a rude shock. And a gentleman who was a dear friend, you know, that year, I don't know what happened. And I went back to third and the gentleman took first. And it didn't add up to me. Because we were friends and we're wonderful people. You can imagine, you know, just children thinking. And then I returned home. I was feeling sad. And I was saying, what would have been the reason? And then the gentleman told me something. Then, goodness. There was only one Living Faith branch then in Jos. And he told me, he said, He remembered that not too long before the exams, all he remembers is that they did an anointing service and they gathered all of them together, and then oil just came on them and declarations were made. I said, really? When I learned this, I said, Joshua Selman, my head is exalted like the horn of a unicorn, and I am anointed with fresh oil. My head you have exalted like the horn of a unicorn, and I am anointed. That was the extra factor in the life of that gentleman. He came to church in addition to his study. A man of God declared over his life and placed something upon his life that beat us hands down. We did our best. It just did not work. The same way something is coming on you this night, that when it comes upon your life, even though you just came here with your intellect alone, you came here with your connection, but I stand before the God of heaven, this grace that comes upon ordinary men and turns their lives around. Hear me. For some of you, when this grace comes upon you, people who have long forgotten you, believe what I tell you. Supernatural achievements by the Spirit. Things will just begin to happen. Some of you, by this grace, you will step into ease. Ease that you may not be able to explain. Ease that you cannot explain. You believe that? When it's time to pray, please, no moving around. Don't distract yourself. This is a very prophetic moment. In the next 5 minutes, I'd like you to pray. The prayer point is, Lord, give me an encounter. Let this grace come upon my life. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Please pray. Supernatural. It's time to command the supernatural. Follow me online. Make sure you are praying. Lord, I am ready to step into a supernatural life. The reality manifesting, commanding the supernatural. Man of God, pray. Believers, pray. Let ordinary living come to an end. Ordinary ministry come to an end. Ordinary business come to an end. Ordinary parenting come to an end. I step into the realm of miracles, signs, wonders. Oh, results that confirm principalities and powers. Supernatural music ministry. Are you praying? Don't be distracted. Pray. Supernatural results by the Spirit of the Living God. Time to shift levels in the spirit. It's time to begin to manifest the supernatural. It's time for your life to be an epistle, a testament of God's wonder working power.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Fire, fire, fire. Fire, fall on me. Fire, fire, fire. Name of Jesus.
Please listen to me. I'm about to pray for you, but let me tell you this. In this end time, those who will really carry the grace for signs and wonders must be people who are serious with Jesus. Very serious. Very hungry. Very passionate. More than titles. More than church. More than emoji. More than apostle. More than prophet. I want to pray for you now.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set my heart on you, so you'll do what you do. We're in a mood. This is a mood. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you, so you do what you do. This is a move. This is a move. This is a move. This is a move.
When Peter and John came to the man at Gate Beautiful, he said, "Silver and gold I do not have." He said, "But such as I have, give I unto you." Listen to me. I don't mean to be arrogant, but let me tell you this. When it has to do with the supernatural, I know what I am saying. I have enjoyed the mercies of God even on this wise. I know what a supernatural life will do to you. Your ministry, your business, your life. It is Jesus we are looking up to. But it is men that he uses. I'd like you to open your heart in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Believe with your heart. Just help those under the anointing. I have had many encounters in my life. I've only said a few of them. It is on the authority of Scripture, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the privilege of these encounters. I myself have been a recipient of the graces of those that have gone ahead. It is not everything that has come just directly by my own personal encounter. We have met many people. There are those who have gone ahead, even in ministry. There are those who have demonstrated a supernatural life. Though we are few, we're surrounded by many who have crossed that river before. We're not the first. You are not the first to do supernatural business. John D. Rockefeller. These are men and women who encountered grace. You're not the first to do supernatural ministry. Oh dear. Scripture and history is full of men and women who shook the earth in their lifetime. You're not the first to have a supernatural career. Ask Daniel. Through the reign of 4 kings, he remained on top. Regardless who was in power, he remained on top. There was a grace. And they said, an excellent spirit, not an excellent talent, an excellent spirit was at work in him. You are not the first to be intellectually supported by the Spirit of God. There were Hebrew boys who were 10 times better. 10 times better. Let me pray for you now. Father, let this grace come upon your people. Let everyone under the sound of my voice, by the privilege of this grace, by the ministry of this angel of the Lord's presence, I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus, that everyone under the sound of my voice, at the count of three, may this grace come upon you, may it follow you, may it produce results. 1, 2, 3. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. Take that grace in business. Supernatural business. Supernatural ministry. Signs. Signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus. Let those that have hitherto, rakatos kete prekete kata, I command those gates be open hither and thither. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be open hither and thither in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, in the night, manifest the supernatural. For many of you who are in ministry here, I anoint you. Go back to your pulpits. Let fire begin to fall upon your altars. In unusual proportions, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that has been happening in your life by a natural sequence, we place grace upon it and we command in the name of Jesus quantum leaps, geometric proportions of results. Where you have been praying naturally, I place grace upon you. May your ministry of prayer step into a supernatural dimension. May your ministry of word study step into a supernatural dimension. There are many of you here, God has called you into the healing ministry, but as it is, you have not really seen that dimension, the tangibility of the healing oil. It has not come upon you. I open this jar in the realm of the spirit, and in the name of Jesus, like Samuel unto David, I place that oil upon you. Receive that grace now. Young and old, man of God, woman of God, prophet, apostle, pastor, intercessor, receive that grace. I release you into a strange healing ministry in the name of Jesus. We have a financial series coming, but let me pray over your finances. Can I be sincere with you? There is such a thing called supernatural finances. There really is such a thing. Parasko de shalatoska de bande kaprahaskia. The mystery of the raven that brings bread for Elijah at Brook Cherry. The mystery of the 5 loaves and 2 fish that can feed 5,000. There is supernatural finances. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands. From today, in the name of Jesus, I measure 1,000 cubits by grace. I push you into a deeper level of supernatural finances. Provide value at a supernatural dimension in the name of Jesus Christ. One last prayer. For many of you, you have been making progress, but the progress is too slow relative to your destiny. In the name of Jesus, just help those under the anointing. My goodness. Hear me. Wherever you should have been, but because you did not have the supernatural advantage, you have not arrived here yet. I stand by the rod of the prophetic. In the name of Jesus, between now and the end of September, please hear me. I stand as touching the God of my covenant. Go forward. Go forward. I push you by prophecy. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help them, please. Go forward. In the name of Jesus Christ. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. In your career, go forward. In business, go forward. In ministry, go forward. Can I be sincere with you? This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the indices that measure fulfillment is progress. I pray for you again. Whatever has made the pace of your acceleration slow, the same grace that came upon Elijah and made him to run and overtake the chariots of Ahab, may that grace come upon you right now. And every force that will want to fight this prophecy, in the name of Jesus, by the privilege of God's grace, he has given us the key of David, the key that opens a door that no man can shut, and can shut a door that no man can open. We open that door and it remains open day and night. We open that door, it remains open day and night. By the mystery of the key of David, that door will never be shut, day or night, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus. As an act of worship, just wave your hands to the King of Kings. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for changing my level. Thank you for giving me a new story. Remember, thanksgiving is the last digit to the faith equation. Lord, we thank you. We wave our hands in worship, thanking you. Indeed, it is a good thing to come to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, please listen. Just final admonishment. Do not walk out of this place after sharing the grace as if it's not church you came to. Because many people, even under this atmosphere, once you are done, you return back to your vomit again and now begin to act in a natural, carnal way. Realize that you are always supernatural. Protect the things that come out of your lips. Don't just speak as if you are not born again. Don't just act as if the Holy Spirit is not at work in you. It says, now that ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. Hallelujah. Let me make an altar call now. Inside, outside, all the overflows. There are people here. Whilst you heard me talking about the supernatural, I told you that the first basis of the supernatural is salvation, your encounter with Jesus. And I know that you are here and you've never truly made that decision for Jesus. Perhaps you've been coming to church. Perhaps you even come from a Christian family. Perhaps you've been around men of God, but you're saying, Apostle, I want to start afresh with Jesus. Or you are here saying, I've given my life to Jesus Christ, but as it is right now, I truly do not know the way my life is going. I need a renewal. I need a rededication. I'm going to count 1 to 5. I'd like you to run like there's fire on the mountain. Come and stand here. 1. Run to Jesus. Help them. Help them. Help that lady, please. Help her. Help her so she doesn't fall in. Run to Jesus, inside and outside.
I'm yours, I'm yours. I'm yours forever. I'm yours, I'm yours. I'm yours. My life is yours. It's yours. It's yours forever. It's yours, it's yours. It's yours. Whatever you ask of me, whatever you ask of me, I surrender.
Let that be your confession. Join them if you are still coming.
Whatever you ask of me, I surrender.
One more time. It's a prayer from the depth of your heart.
Whatever you ask of me, whatever you ask, I surrender.
Can I tell you this? Only God can tell the joy that is in my heart every time I see people come to stand and make this declaration for Jesus. Every time. We pray for this every week. We cry for this. At the back of our preaching, we expect this to happen. Souls running to Jesus genuinely. I want to salute every single one of you. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. He can always give you a new beginning. I can tell you, this is a family of faith. There are many of you, whilst you are crying, God is seeing a prophet, an apostle. He's seeing a mighty general. Lift your right hand very high above your head. And I want you to say this convincingly, knowing that Jesus is here. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Say after me, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you are my God, my Savior, my Lord, and my King. Tonight I declare that my life is no longer mine. I hand it over to you in exchange for your own life. I receive into my spirit eternal life. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and I declare that I reign in life. Say after me, the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight and forever, I am a child of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, I pray and thank you for these ones, Jesus, for these ones that you have brought to yourself. We honor you and we thank you. By the authority of scripture, I decree and declare that your sins are forgiven. And that the Lord gives you a new beginning from tonight. I commend you therefore to the ministry of the word and the ministry of the spirit. And I pray that you will become mighty vessels in the hands of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare that everything that is not of God in and around your life, let it go now, once and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, I welcome you to the family of faith. And I declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, you go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name I pray. Congratulations to every one of you. Now very quickly, rise up on your feet. Thank you so much. I honor and I bless everyone who has been here. Again, please let's appreciate Minister Owe Abutu. God bless you. Thank you.
Such a great time with you. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. I declare that your week beginning is blessed in Jesus' name. You will experience the supernatural and you will command same all through this week in the name of Jesus. You will continue to love the Lord with all your heart and you continue to serve Him passionately. And whilst you do that, you will keep experiencing results from one level to the other in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord honor you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and see you on Sunday.
Believe you are mightily blessed. To connect with the ministry and get more from Apostle Joshua Selman, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Koinonia ENI to stream Koinonia Live.
Go to luceella.com/koinonia-radio and download the teachings on koinoniadownloads.org. For questions and inquiries, call 0814-721-4444 or 0907-777-7853. We love and celebrate you.